Good morning. We continue with our study of Nachiyomi as we do every single day. Lili Nishmas Avi Moria, Rav Hillel ben Meir, Yechiel Mechel, Arani Kabaras Mishkovo, and the late great Rabbi Jerry Acker, Zichrono Livracha. We are in Sefer Yishayo, and we are in the fifth parak. And again, true to the style of the Nevuah of Yishayo, between the visions of impending doom and the consequent galos to that of Geula and comfort, we begin with this note of hope. Ashira Nali Yudidi Shiras Dodi Likarmo. Instead of giving them Musar for their wrongs, he starts off with a song of prophetic poetry, and he starts off with the poetry about a person who plants a vineyard and puts a lot of effort into producing the grapes, which he hoped to make high quality wine. However, as it turns out, the seedlings that he planted with so much care only gave off wild sour grapes, and the fruit looked like grapes, but it tasted sour. And he's referring to what the people in the time of Yishayo looked like. They were fine Jews outwardly. They went to the Beis HaMikdash. They brought karbanos. But those who appear to be fine Jews are actually sour on the inside. They were unscrupulous. They were people who exploited the poor and the helpless. They were what Rav Shimon Schwab calls in his commentary the Talis and Tefillin Jews of today, who come to shul every day, keep kashrus, Shabbos, and Yontif, but they're dishonest in business. They look like good grapes, but inside they're sour, putrid, and contain no wine. And on the contrary, they only produce vinegar. And so he begins his allegorical poem in which the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the people is pictured. And then he turns to the people, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, people who inhabit Yerushalayim and Yehuda, you sit in judgment between me and my kerem. Is it fair that my kerem should produce only sour grapes after I put so much into it to get to the fine grapes? And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not going to do anything to the crop itself, right? But rather, I'm going to get rid of the protective fence. Hasir maskut mesukaso, right? I'm going to take away its protection. I'm not going to do anything, but I'm just going to get rid of the fact that this land doesn't have any protection. If you live less than the ideal life in Eretz Yisrael, the borders get overrun, and the small strip of land gets overtaken by the invading armies, be they the armies of Egypt, of Ashur, of Aram, or of Babel, marching around. And all that happens is HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away his protection. And why is that? He says it's going to be trampled upon, it's going to be desolate, and the clouds will not rain on it. Why? Because the vineyard of Hashem are his favorite planting, and he hoped for justice, but there was injustice. And he plays on a lot of the poetry in the early psukim that will turn around and be lost in the process. And of course, the Navi continues, Yishayahu, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu recognizes that he had acquired and protected his vineyard, all the conditions, and he gave them all the conditions which favored their growth, building them a Beis HaMikdash, giving them Nevi'im. Unfortunately, they lose Tzedakah and Mishpat. And that is the beauty of what Bnei Yisrael are built on. We're supposed to be the children of Avraham Avinu, about whom it was declared, Ki Adaitiv, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I know Avraham, L'man Yanshe Yitzam, Vespana Vespeso, Achara Vesharmu, Derech Hashem, Lasos, Tzedakah U'Mishpat, that we have a responsibility to do Tzedakah and Mishpat. And Yishayo says, wow, that's a really sad situation. And Yishayo continues in our perek by identifying six accusations, all of which begin with the word Hoy. All of this begin with the word woe. So woe number one, woe to those who join the houses and the fields together in an effort to crowd the weak and the poor of their land. In other words, look at the people who think they're such great tzaddikim, lending money, but knowing that you're lending money to people who are not going to be able to afford it. And HaKadosh Baruch, and so what happens is they put up their small pieces of land up for collateral. And then what happens? They lose on the loan, and the collateral gets taken away, and you wind up building these great big mansions, especially the ones surrounding the loaned areas. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, woe unto the people who do this. Those mansions are also going to be emptied of their residents, and they're only going to produce a fraction. He says, the second hoy, they get up early in the morning. Instead of beginning a productive day, they start looking for their desire to drink, and at night they continue drinking and partying, and it inflames them. And in that second group of the people who party, they just don't get concerned with Hashem and His Torah. And those people will also be exiled for spurning Hashem and going on to get involved in physical pleasure. Well, you know what happens when you lack the das, when you lack the ability to continue to grow, what happens is that those people die in hunger and thirst. As they eat food and drink, the graves will go ahead and gobble them up in a much larger crowd as well. And when Hashem does go ahead and achieve this, that God will grow under this process, which is really a sad statement. Yeshayahu realizes that in this regard, Hashem will now realize that after Tzedakah and Mishpat have been meted out to the Rishayim and the Tzadikim, everything will then all of a sudden have the opportunity to go ahead and return back to normal. That is the assumption of the second hoy. The third hoy, which begins in Pasuk Yud Ches, it refers to the people who draw sin, the way that people pull carts and ropes. They question the Nevi'im, who remind them of Hashem's will. And they're so confused, they think bad is good, good is bad, light is dark, dark is light, bitter is sweet, sweet is bitter. They consider themselves wise, and really, they're silly. And here's Yeshayahu giving this nevuah over 100 years before the destruction that he foresees. And still notwithstanding, he's still declaring hoy in this situation, recognizing that there are people who turn around and respond by saying, you don't have to tell me what to do, because I can see that nothing is going to make a difference. But those people go ahead and use that, and they lose. Then there's another hoy to the people who should be using their strength to save those who are needy, and instead they use it on partying and perverting justice, and they also will get consumed like straw in a fire for rejecting Hashem. So as the Navi continues, he recognizes that therefore there is going to be the tzaros that will come forward. And in Pasuk Chav Gimel, Pasuk Chav Dalet, he says, Lachain, therefore, as a result of all the different things that we do wrong, there's going to be a lot of bad that's going to come out of it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has become angry, and he has caused us to suffer, and he has caused things to people who reject HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so as a result, the land is going to reject us as well. The mountains are going to tremble. There'll be a flag signaling the other nations that they can come and attack the Jews, and those other nations will leap at the chance. They won't even bother to rest, and the armies of the nations will be prepared to wage war, and they're going to use all of the weaponry that are there. And towards the end of the parak, we see the description of the Melech Ashur, who's going to be involved in exiling all of the Aseres HaShvatim. He gets compared to an Aryeh, he gets compared to a lion who is roaring and growling at the nation. But Am Yisrael is going to Vishaag Kakfirim, he says. But in the end of the day, everyone is going to turn to look for somebody to find and give aid. But all they'll find in the process is darkness. It starts on a high, it moves to a low, and of course, Be'ezus Hashem will try to figure out where the highs will come from as we move backwards and restart Sefer Yeshayahu with Perek Vav when we meet again tomorrow. Everyone have a great day.